glory on its way. Your presence, your fire. Holy Spirit, thank you. We bow our knees, submit and surrender to the will of the Lord God right now. Not about us, Father, this is about you. This is about you in all eternity. This is a moment. This is a prophetic moment, Lord. This is a prophetic moment, Father. You have ordained this before the foundations of the earth. You've created every physical image that is standing in this house tonight, Father. And you've blessed them to move in your likeness. So we thank you, Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, that you would encourage and equip, comfort us right now, as you always do, for your presence is with us and in us and through us. Father, may your name be glorified as we are in your presence right now in this place. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks. It's a privilege to be here. I just needed to be aligned with the Lord. So if you're wondering why I was walking up and down, it's not about me. I cannot do anything unless He empowers me and if His presence is here. Winter's not a great time in South Africa. In the day it's nice and warm, but all the sniffs and the coughs, and I was saying to the guys when I got you, I was a bit early and I was sitting outside the church. It was rather dark here. He's cut some of these big trees away. Fire, Lord, on those trees right now. And it was just like I couldn't open the window in my little car because there was just so much, I don't know if they're burning tires or plastics or whatever they are. If you're wondering why I've got notes, I normally use a little laptop pad thing. But on Sunday when I was visiting, I didn't see anything yet. So I thought, okay, well, I can't bring a machine because otherwise it'll be there and I'll have to go, like, move. So I printed them. But that's just really for reference. I'm going to start with Pentecost before and after. This weekend is your fire conference and it's about Pentecost. But I'm going to get a bit prophetic with you because Pentecost is not an isolated event. And so, Scripture as well. We tend to sometimes isolate things and only look at the experience or the event or Scripture in time, when God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is over all eternity, and you and I are sitting in eternity right now. If you didn't know that, now you know it. You are part of the bigger picture. You are caught in the natural for now, but you are part of the eternity, which is now. All of it in one. As you sit here, everything is in one. Remember, God is not limited to time and space. Supernatural. Okay. I'm going to build on it. I'm going to start the foundation tonight, and then on Sunday, get obviously more into specific to Pentecost, because Sunday's Pentecost, not tonight, but tonight is the start. Just give me a moment. There's a bit of a warmth here around me. You want the fire? It's coming, and it really is, if it's not already here. Why it's a privilege for me to be here tonight is not only just to honor you because you're people of God, and it's a privilege to minister to people, but it's my spiritual birthday this week. One or two people in this place will know from Little Falls days, but if you don't know, 12 years ago, in this week, I was saved at Little Falls on Pentecost night. I was taken in there literally dying of alcohol and drug abuse. So I am thankful to God for standing here because I had no life left then. So I'm celebrating with you. Hopefully there's a big piece of cake waiting. But I will take the fire of God as the piece of cake for tonight. Okay. All right, let's get going. Every biblical event has been recorded and happened for a reason, prophetically or otherwise. I'm just going to give you some background first, okay? And Pentecost is one of these events which are part of the preparation, unfolding the plan of the kingdom of God. It's a time of empowerment, of positioning, of promise, of prophecy, purpose, provision, revelation, restoration, community, and of love. And I'm going to go into those points this weekend specifically, because you and I need to get this revelation that it's about our lifestyle in Christ as well. We can have the fire, we can have the anointing, we can have the gifts, we can have the word, we can have everything. But if we are not expressing Jesus, then all of that is to no avail, because that is what it's for at the end of the day, to empower us. So we're in this weekend for some spirit-filled celebration, jubilation, expectation, adoration, and it's bubbling in the spirit. I sent that out because on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday morning, every morning I prepare a message as the Lord leads me in my quiet time, and then I just type it out and send it. And that morning specifically, just I was bubbling. I was, for 3 days now, I've been bubbling. So hopefully this weekend, it's this prophetic burden that has to come out, okay? So we need to look at all of the events that have happened so far and see that this Pentecost is the prophetic culmination of the birth, the ministry, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. Pentecost is a culmination of all of that, because all of those things had to happen before Pentecost. That's why I was saying it's not an isolated event. You can't take it on its own, because without that, Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming is actually the evidence of the ascension. Okay? All right. So let's just go a little bit back and go into some of the past. As I said to you, I'm going to speak to you about Pentecost before and after. In the book of Daniel, which is probably the most prophetic book, for those people who study the prophetic and know the word as well, Daniel 9, it says, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself." Prophetic. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "A son is given, a counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father." I'm not going to read all the scriptures full out because of just time, and we're not in Bible college or in a theology word study right now, okay? Joel 2, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Psalm 22, David writes, or the psalmist writes, "I poured out like water all my bones out of joint." And Psalm 22 is actually a commentary of when Jesus was suffering in his crucifixion. So all of these are prophetic statements that are pointing to the future, and you and I need to know that prophetic timeline. And we are now obviously at the point of Pentecost. Jesus came to set the captives free. Isaiah 61 became Luke 4. So Isaiah 61 was prophesied about him, and Luke 4 is where he actually came to set the captives free. And we're going to go into detail with that as well, because that is what you and I have been called to do. That is what you and I have the fire for. That is what you and I have the gifts for. That is what you and I have the anointing for. That is why you and I are part of the body of Christ. That is why we are in church. Not just to receive good doctrine, good theology, and be part of a social club or enjoy the tea that the church gives, okay? I hope you don't mind that. It's a long time I've seen a room like this. Let me just stop for a minute. On Sunday, I just marveled. This is like a boat. It's like a ship, okay? If you'll hear me, I'm a prophetic weird person sometimes, so you need to just bear with me, because I'm going to get intimate with you. I can't just stand here and tell you about scripture and about the Lord, and that he's going to use me to get to you, so to speak, okay? So just let me get flowing. I'm not used to all the fixed seats, and because people can't. It's actually quite cool because you can't move around. But if you look, I was standing here on Sunday, and up there, there was light shining, and I don't know how high this is, but it's like a boat. And I was thinking, you know, like the Titanic, people could be up there, like on the front of the boat, and like, be quite cool, eh? Don't you think? So maybe the only thing is, your altar call, they got to come from there. If you want to, like, hey, you down there in the back row, and like, who, me? And you can't even see the guy because he's that far away. But if I put on my glasses, I might see that far. All right, so I just think it's awesome. I was saying to Jan that this building is just incredible. You don't see a lot of the more modern churches aren't made like this anymore. They're not built like this. I think you said it was from the 70s or whenever. So it's just really awesome to be here and to witness in this place. All right, in Acts 10 as well, Jesus came to release those oppressed by the enemy. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He completed his assignment on earth. And we're going to go into John 17 probably on Sunday with the glory. And he now continues to do his assignment in heaven. Jesus is not sitting still. Now, a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I had an experience or he arrived at my bed or something. And I say, oh, cool. No disrespect, but if you have not been changed, like tonight, if Jesus is coming to your midst, then I'm not sure who that person was that came into your midst. Because you cannot remain the same if the living God comes into your presence. So he's busy in heaven interceding for us. And you and I have got assignments on this earth. And part of your fire conference, part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that prophetic event, was to prepare mankind for the last season that we have on this earth. If you go look at your prophetic timeline, biblical timeline, you'll see that between now and obviously the rapture, for if there's anyone who believes or doesn't believe in it, I'm giving you from the Bible. To me, it's only what's in here that is relevant, nothing outside of here. There's no other event that is outstanding. You can put up your hand if you know of one. There's no other event. You and I are in, what do you call that last stretch when you're running or something, you know, in the last stretch? Or you can't last the keer or me dry. There's nothing else except the end time, the rapture, what's described in Revelation. You and I have been assigned a task on this earth. We've been assigned to bring heaven to earth. That is why you have the Spirit of God. That is why you're anointed. All right, so the Holy Spirit baptism is to enable and empower us to complete our assignments, to live out our call, and to continue the work of building the kingdom on the foundation rock, which is obviously Christ. I just want to give you a point there as well. The call of God, many people seem to have a misconception about that. And everybody, I was actually teaching it at our seminar 2 weeks ago. A lot of people are wondering, you know, what am I called to do? Everybody is called to do something. And a lot of people go to Bible college, a lot of people go to church, and they're waiting for the pastor or for somebody to say to them, you are called to be a pastor, or you're called to be a prophet, or you're called to be a teacher, or you're called to be whatever. It doesn't matter. The first thing that you are called to do is be holy before God. When you've done that, or while you are doing that, because sanctification is a process, what you do is you serve the body of Christ in whatever manner or means or measure you can, because nobody is good enough or too good to not serve. There's many people, especially prophetic people running around there that are making declarations, doing things, and you go to them and ask, where are you serving or are you prepared to serve? And they're not. They're rebellious. And the book of Samuel tells you that rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft. You and I are called to serve first. Jesus said, if anybody wants to be great in the kingdom, let him be less. Let him be a servant first. So coming back to the call of God, if any of you are wondering what your call is, first, be holy. Be a servant to the Master. Be a servant in a church, in a place. And in that obedience, in that sacrifice, God will lift you up into the place He wants you to be. I have not achieved anything. It is not about me. I told you that He saved me 12 years ago. But this afternoon I was praying and I said to Him, what were you thinking? I never, for one moment, I know Pastor Keith has been in ministry here, I believe, for a long time, the worship leader. But I mean, I don't know where I was. Really, I don't. If you've not been on the streets, if you've not been out drunk on a street curb, if you've not been so gone on alcohol and drugs that you don't know where you are for days on end, and then he arrives and he puts his hands on your dashboard of your car and he shows you the marks in his hands. Who am I to question? But I asked this afternoon, I never knew I would, I never for the, had the faintest idea that I would be standing in front of a church in Krugersdorp 12 years later, ministering to you like this. Never occurred to me. It's not about me. I'm giving it to you to be encouraged that as this fire conference and the presence of God ignites you and touches you this weekend, know that He's got something for you in the future. Somewhere down the line, there is something. There is a gold nugget. There is a treasure from heaven just for you. But if you don't go down that road, you ain't going to get to that treasure. If you stand still and wait for Him to come to you, it ain't going to happen. You are in a covenant. You are in a relationship. Two have become one. You are with Jesus. He's done His part. He's still doing His part. You and I need to do our part. You cannot sit still and say, Lord, bring that money on, bring that job, bring that career, bring that car, bring that house, bring that travel overseas or whatever. Dat gaat niet gebeuren. You're going to say, eish, for a long time in heaven. Because you're going to get there, you're going to see the nuggets that you missed out on. And I promise you, there was a pastor once that I served. He said to me, the gospel is an adventure. I thought, nee, but you're smoking something weird. But that was early days. That was about 7, 8 years ago. But now looking back, my goodness, only God. Only God, only God. The best advice I ever got from a pastor was, besides to not be naughty, was to make the Holy Spirit my best friend. And when my gifting was coming into fruition, if you can call it that, I was very frustrated because the moment the prophetic manifests, people like, ooh, especially in the church, and no disrespect to the church, we're all part of the church, we're all part of the body of Christ. But people kind of push you away because you're quite new. And how can this person be like this? And I had to spend probably about best of 3 years out of the 12 years, all the time with him. But in those 3 years of that gifting manifesting, the only person I could go to was him. He's the only one that ever listened. He's the only one that ever arrived with help. He was the only one that ever encouraged. So I just want to encourage you that he's here. You don't have to see him. This is not reality. What you see in front of you right now is not reality. If you're worried about that statement, I'm going to tell you that only truth is reality. And the Holy Spirit is the only truth. Where God is, outside of time, that is reality. He's the Creator. He's the omniscient, all-present God. That is reality. We are part of that, although you cannot see it because you're in the natural. Because of the fallen nature, man is stuck in time and space, but this is not reality. The point being this, don't look at what you see in the natural. God made everything which is visible from that which was invisible. And all the invisible exists around you and I in this very moment. Holy Spirit was given to empower us to be like Jesus and to do the works of the kingdom. To go and preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize all, teach them, and he said he'll be with us. But most importantly, before Pentecost, there was a divine exchange. A sacrifice presented holy and pure before the Father to restore the kingdom and bring man back to life and to announce the fullness of time. Remember when Jesus came, he announced the kingdom, and he said the kingdom of God has now come. And that was when the countdown started. And even that scripture I told you about Daniel 9, when it's the Messiah, that reference, that means the crucifixion of Jesus that is referenced in Daniel. Okay? So that divine exchange was the crucifixion. And that exchange positioned you and I for a promise which is filled with purpose and to ready us for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is the evidence of the ascension of the risen and glorified Christ. And I believe really in my heart, not because I say so, because it's not important what we think, it is only important what God thinks, but there's going to be a touch of glory in this place, in this weekend. The ascension gifts were initiated. When Jesus went up, that's the fivefold ministry. So I'm just still giving you some background. It said the Bible says he gave gifts to men. That is the fivefold ministry, the ascension gifts as they are known. Okay? And the evidence of the supernatural. In John 14, verse 12, he says, greater things that you shall do because I am with you. That statement alone should encourage you and I to look at a different way of how we're doing things. If Jesus came and in 3 years, he literally set the world on fire, he drove out demons, he healed the sick, he brought the kingdom, he did all these things, and he says, you will do more than what I did. Come on. Come on. That's why I say, don't sit back and wait. He's not going to come and put it in your lap and say, here you go, Mark. He's going to test you. We're going to go through a fire this weekend, and even in this night, in your heart, you might not feel the heat because it's cold, but I promise you it's burning here. And your heart condition will be tested and tested and tested. And he never stops testing you. Not because he's trying to be funny, because he's a holy, almighty, everlasting God. And he doesn't take any sin into his presence. No sin can live in the presence of God. That is why the blood speaks on your behalf and my behalf. How much fire is inside of you and me? I just please want to remind you that whatever I teach you tonight is relevant to me as well. Because many times when people are teaching up front here, God is speaking to us sometimes more than what he's speaking to the people. So please don't think for a moment that I am an exception to any rule or anything here tonight. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you. Give it some thought. At this time, we as believers should check ourselves and to reach forward to what has God in store for this season. This weekend, what are your expectations from God? What is on your heart? What has your prayer life been? Where are you financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically? Because those are all dimensions of you in his presence. You can have all the money in the world, but you can be depressed. You can be poor as a rat on the corner of Commissioner Street of Krugersdorp and be all, yeehaw, joyful. I told you, there's some weird things that I will bring out. But maybe I watch too many comic movies or something, eh? So where are you and I in scheme of this, all these prophetic events? And you need to please reference everything that I'm giving you. I started off by saying to you, this is prophetic. Pentecost is prophetic. It was an event in time that separated eternity past, eternity future, and it embalmed man into what Jesus gave us. The world started changing at that moment. We always go back to the book of Acts and the apostles. We'll get there on Sunday. You and I need to be a model of exactly what happened there. In this time of Pentecost, it's a time of fire, a time of empowerment, a time of cleansing. Cleansing. A time of blessing, a time of remembrance, a time of checking ourselves. What are the things that we are believing for? What are the things that you've been struggling with? What are the things you want to let go of? What are the things you want to change? What breakthroughs are you waiting for? What have you asked of God? Have you brought things to the altar? Will you even in this night or this weekend come to that altar of the baptism and recognize his glory, his power, and his dominion? Are you willing to repent of wherever you are if we need to? Because repentance, part of sanctification, is a continual process. It's not a one-time thing. There's a renewal, a transformation of your mind is a continual process. Each person, according to Ephesians 4:7, has got a measure of the Spirit that is given to us. And as I've said once before in a teaching I did, when was the Spirit of God a baby? What I mean by that is, when was the Holy Spirit just small, immature, just a little bit? The Spirit is not given by measure. There's only one Holy Spirit. He's not a little bit, a bit more, a bit more, a bit more, a bit more. You and I need to move the anointing. You and I need to administrate the anointing. That is where a lot of people make a mistake around the anointing, is they expect the anointing to come and then to flow and to do things on their behalf. You've been anointed. Once you have that Spirit of grace on you, the Holy Spirit, you have an anointing from the Holy One to do whatever, and you need to release that. If you don't release it, it won't grow in you. You've been given more, more will be required of you. But the more you release, the more will come into you. So the more you give out of that anointing, the more of your gifting, the more of your talents, the more of what God has given you, you let go into the body of Christ and into the earth, the more you will start getting back. It's just simply a biblical principle which the world cannot understand. And many times us as Christians as well cannot understand. We say, but this is all mine. It's not. We're not getting into the supernatural gifts, but part of the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. And none of them are for me and you. What I have in the gifts of the Spirit is for you. I've been called prophetically. I can't walk around just prophesy over myself the whole day and for the next 20 or 30 or 50 years. Mark is a lacquer, oh, Mark is a lacquer, oh, Mark is a lacquer, oh. I must tell you, you lacquer. Do you need some fueling? Is that fire still burning brightly, or does it need some fuel? Hebrews 1 from verse 7, and also in the Psalms 104, he talks about ministers of flames of fire. You and I are ministers of the gospel. You don't have to be appointed a pastor, stand here to be anointed to be a minister of the gospel. When the Holy Spirit is in you, you are a minister of the gospel. Do you know the fire? Have you received it? Is it still burning brightly, or does it need refueling, or has it dwindled? We look at the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. You need oil to burn the lamp. Does any one of you braai without charcoal or wood? Please, because, or do you call fire from heaven and say, Here kom braai my wors. Hey? And then it's like gone, and you say, oh, gee, what am I going to eat now? Because the Lord took what was on the altar is gone. No joke, we'll get there on Sunday. What happened in Solomon's temple? I mean, they put all the stuff down to glorify the Lord. Hey? There's a prophet in the house. What was Elijah? Remember the altar? Where does the fire begin? What is its purpose? How do you refuel it? How do you keep it burning? What do we do when the fire has gone out? What does the fire represent? What restricts the fire? What is limiting you in your life? What is the barrier? Okay, Lord. Sometimes He speaks. Well, not sometimes. Well, let me share something with you. God is always speaking because God is always active. He's a dynamic God, always moving. He's never in yesterday all the time. He's moving consistently. And you and I need to be next to Him to experience what is going on. If you're standing here and God is over there, you're going to miss. Now you understand why sometimes things in our lives don't work out. Besides the fact that nowhere in the Bible does it say you can sit on a cushy cloud and smoke your pipe and be happy in the Spirit. Sorry, I went to church thinking that's what they'll give you. It's not. It's like, yeah. So what limits you? Have you given it some thought? Even this weekend, tonight as you go home, tomorrow with a breakfast, tomorrow afternoon while you're watching, you know, the Lions win again, or if it's, I think it's the box playing, I don't know who's playing, but it's unimportant. I've somehow moved away from all of that stuff. I don't have an issue with it, but it's just amazing how God changes you. I was sharing with somebody earlier this year, I needed to go counsel a guy in Clearwater, and I said, why must I meet you there? He said, no, it's on my way home, and I can go and eat at, I don't know, there's a pizza place that gives you double for half or something weird, and they still make 100% profit or something like that. So I said to him, okay, but this is a test for me because I haven't been there in 3 years. And I stay 5-10 minutes. I stay in Ramsar, so it's not too far away. The point being this, in this journey, coming out of the corporate world into the ministry, I had to be separated from everything that meant anything to me. I hope you heard that. It's not about me. This is a word that the Lord is sharing. That if you want to walk with Him truly, full, and I'm not saying leaving your job or giving up your bank account or anything. No, don't misunderstand me. But I wasn't allowed to go into a shopping center for 3 years. He didn't say, no, you can't go. If you go, you're being disobedient. What actually happened, he gave me that unction. The point was this. In the corporate world, I earned good money. Some 5 years ago, I was still in the corporate world, or maybe a bit longer, 2009 or 10, I left the corporate world. But I would go into a shopping center, and if I liked jeans, I would buy them. If I wanted new tackies, I would buy them. What's the point? The point is, now you need to be dependent on God. You want to live by faith? Suddenly that corporate salary is gone, and you know that God is your provider. You can't say to Him, Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider, but like keep on looking at your card and hoping something's going to explode and just bring magic to bear and do things for you. It takes faith. And that process taught me that I didn't need to be there. Nothing wrong with that shopping center. Nothing wrong with going to the shop. So please don't misunderstand me. The point is, to change me, He had to change the way I think. He had to change the way I react to things. He had to change the way I look at the things around me. He had to change the way I work wisely or stupidly about situations in my life. You can't walk through a front shop window and see a new cool pair of Levi's or something and just walk in and take them. Okay, because I can. God is not because I can, God. He's beyond that. He's I am. The point is, we need to change our ways. How about some spontaneous combustion, spontaneous expression? You know, in our worship tonight, and just thank you for this worship team as well. On Sunday when I came to visit, I was really, you have a voice. You got Elvis in the house. His hair's not as dark, but. No, really, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. But that spontaneous expression, that you know what spontaneous combustion is? It's just like in the felt now. Because of the change of weather, the felt will just start burning. Okay, and it will just start refueling itself. That is one kind of spontaneous combustion. I never did well at science at school, unfortunately. And then spontaneous expression. When you're worshiping, is it about how your shoes are moving or how your pants are fitting or if your hairdo is right? Did I put on the right aftershave tonight? Oh dear, I forgot my dog outside. Get into the presence of God. Put your focus on Him, on Him, on Him, and things will change in your life. Christ in me, the hope of glory, coming together in one accord and letting the fire fall. That is that spontaneous expression. We'll get into it on Sunday, but what happened? They were all with one accord. It doesn't just say in unity. One accord means all believing for the same thing, all expecting the same thing, all doing the same thing, all submitting in the same way. Everything was done equally through all of them. They didn't go in there and plan it like that. That's how it happened. And what happens when you and I in this room are in one accord? I was reading a little thing yesterday from Kenneth Hagin, Fresh Anointing, a little booklet just in part of my preparation. And he said, it's a little bit sad that churches have got so big that the prayer meeting is not around the altar anymore, where the group actually comes into one accord and the fire just falls there. The anointing comes down because now we've got to take care of so many issues in the church. Is business right? Is the building okay? Is there enough people coming? All this. Stop focusing on that. It says seek first the kingdom. Who's the kingdom? God. Seek first His way. So as He took me through that non-shopping exercise, what happened? I started seeking His way. And some of the people that are here know that end of last, beginning of this year, I only wear Levi jeans, not because of the label, but because I'm thin. They're only the ones that fit me. Yeah? I can't mention the names being recorded. It's not on TV, eh? They might find me, the police, if they're searching. So, your crimes expire after 7 years. Just something else I must share. I was in Vessies here and Blikkies for 2 years after I was in Little Falls. After I was saved, I went into Bible college straight away. God just did amazing things. He literally put me on fire within months of me being saved. And maybe we should all remember that purity that you have when you are saved, it's all just, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. And then you go to Bible college and think, hey, no kenne colors. Now I go, shh, I can just lay hands, I can just do things or whatever, then it doesn't work. You think like, oh, not based on knowledge. But I came out here to serve in the Burgerswerp Community Center. Little Falls had a church there, Krugersdorp West Christian Center, in that old school hall. It was really a rough place. But every Saturday after the prayer meeting, the pastor that was leading that, I was under him then, we would go out on the streets of Blikkies and Vessies and all those places there. And the most incredible things just happened. That is when we are just settled in the purity that Jesus is upon our lives. And if I look back now, there's sometimes I pray and I say, I don't want those times back because there's people that chased me out of their houses. You're a cult, you know, like, yeah, there were some many testimonies out there, but that place taught me how to be myself. On the streets of Krugersdorp West, I found out who Mark Uren is. When you're on those streets with people, a guy runs out of this house and beats up a wife in that house, and then this guy wants to go and stab that guy, and this guy's drunk while you're praying for him, and the spirit is like wanting, you know, all those kind of things, and the poverty people, you go into the house, and this weekend they've got nothing, and next weekend he gets his pay from the post office pension thing or whatever, and then he's got his 2 or 3 quarts, and he gets drunk for that afternoon, and then for another 3 weeks he's got nothing, and you go minister to them. And some of them repeat scripture to me that I don't even understand. I'm like, dude, where did you get this from? The religion from the old days, you know, they learned the Bible backwards, but there was no evidence of the Holy Spirit. But in that time of working with those people suffering, God showed me who I am. Because He showed me His heart. And in this weekend, I want to ask you, take stock of your heart. What is the Holy Spirit putting on your heart? What is He talking to you about? Where are you with Him? David said in Psalm 139 from verse 7 and 8, where can I go from your Spirit, Lord? We're talking about Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Remember, there's only one Holy Spirit. He says in there that I cannot go anywhere but your Spirit is there. Jeremiah 20 from verse 9, Jeremiah the prophet, he was angry with God because what he had done or what God told him to do didn't kind of suit the way he expected it to be. So he wanted to run from God. And he said, I'm trying, but there's a fire in my belly. There's a fire in my belly. And a month after I was saved, in my house, in my bar with my daughter Donna, she was 13 years old, the Holy Spirit arrived in my house with nobody else there. And He delivered me right there and then. And the only way, when I give my testimony to people, I say to them, the only way I can explain it to you, if you've got a Weber brine, you make a brine in there. And you close that lid, that charcoal inside, that was what was in my stomach. For one whole night. The next morning, I woke up and I said to my daughter, what is this doing in my house? It was a bar with biker stuff in it and all sorts of, you know, the old stuff. That night, He took everything of my past away. I broke everything down, poured it all out, burnt it, whatever, a month after I was saved. Some of us have been walking with the Lord 10, 20, 30 years, and you're still holding on to stuff that have got irrelevance in your life. There's no value. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You want the Holy Spirit fire this weekend. Make a decision. Let stuff go. Whatever's restricting you, whatever's causing you to be ill, whatever's causing you to be angry, whatever's causing you to be bitter, whatever's causing you to drink or do whatever, addiction of any kind. And drinking and smoking is not the only addictions. People mention that very easily in the church. But these phones, there's nothing wrong with having a phone. Those things are more addictive than any of those other things. Yet we never speak about phones. We never speak about music. We never speak about money. But because a person has a cigarette or a drink, we say that is an addiction. Everything is the same in God's eyes. No man is better or worse. God loves with the death of Jesus kind of love, where he poured out his blood for you and I, for once and for all, for you, the alcoholic, the addicted druggie, the prostitute, the person broken, the businessman, the gay person, the lesbian, wherever you are, there is only one set of forgiveness rules, and that is by the blood of Jesus. He doesn't come to you and say, oh, I'm checking what you got, what's wrong with you? The blood doesn't come in a little bit and say, I only wash you a little bit because of this little bit of stuff you're doing. It washes you from head to the bottom of your souls, and he will take all of it away. But you need to desire that fire. You need to desire that holiness. You need to desire to change your life. Amen. Only Jesus can do it, and it is by his Holy Spirit that is on this earth. If you like the prodigal son in Luke 15, where you've taken your things and walked away, and you've got to that point where you said, let me go back to my father's house, then do it. Don't be ashamed. I was healed of shame, of guilt, of many things. You know, one of the toughest things in Africa, they say Africa's not for sissies. It's great. It's a tough place. But I know, ek is Afrikaner. I grew up in Potchefstroom, but I went to English school, okay? And I speak French. Parlez-vous français? We can speak that as well, and a bit of Fanagalo, okay? So we really get going, and if the Holy Spirit fire really prompts me, I'll get into Zulu or Xhosa or something. Or even Hebrew. Where was I? What is in your tomorrow? Let's just get back to that, the blood washing you. There is no restrictions with Jesus. Revelation, when he speaks to the churches, what has the Spirit of the Lord said? I wish you were warm, hot, or you were cold. But because you lukewarm, I cannot do anything. What he's going to say is this, men, and I am a man, were told many times in upbringing, wees sterk, my man. Wees sterk, my son. Cowboys don't cry. Especially when you've got a cowboy hat and some lacquer boots on. And you're going to mess on those boots of yours. The point being this, is that we were brought up to hide things. We were brought up to be hard and strong. I'm not saying you must be weak, but you are strong when you hear. When he's up there and you down here, no matter what it is about your manhood, the only place you will get strength is there. Be a man by giving it all to Jesus. Be a man by being honest with yourself. Be a man by letting the Holy Spirit change you. Don't walk around like this out there and say, okay, I'm macho, and then hide. And when you're in your room at night, you can't sleep because there's some devil that is keeping you up awake at night. When the Holy Spirit is around, there's no devil that can be there. What is in your tomorrow, your Pentecost, this weekend? What does God have for you? Are you interested? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you positioned? What are you waiting for? What are you praying for? What are you needing? What has blocked your path or limited your growth? In John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus prepares the disciples for the prophetic event which is about to take place. He instructs them, imparts to them, and encourages them for the coming journey and the new season. John 14 from verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, dwell with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him and he dwells with you and will be in you. John 14:26, but the help of the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit will do a work in you. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Revelation 19:10, the Spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the same? Holy Spirit would enable you to prophesy because he's speaking of Jesus. I'm not saying you're a prophet. Please don't get me wrong. Everyone is called to prophesy. Not everybody is a prophet. John 16 from verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. The world does not believe in Jesus. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and see you no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. That is all evil being under the accuser of the brethren and the devil is judged. John 16 from verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak. Notice this. He will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Notice that Jesus also at one stage, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What is this saying to us? The Holy Spirit will reveal God to you because he will reveal, it says there, not on his own authority, he will take what is of the Father, which is also mine in Jesus, and he will give it to you, he will show it to you, he will bring to remembrance, he will help you. Specific keys for this is what Jesus emphasized before Pentecost. The revelation of us seeing God, knowing the Father. Jesus said he only does what he sees the Father do. By the Holy Spirit, we can see what the Father is saying. Notice it says see. By the Holy Spirit, you can see into the supernatural. And if you're wondering how you see into the supernatural, it's for another time. But the point is, you don't just suddenly walk here and start seeing a movie of everything that's in the supernatural. God works in different ways. Sometimes he will lay things on your heart. Sometimes he will open the spirit realm and you'll see. Like I said to you when we started off, when I was walking up and down, I was just waiting for the Lord to give me the okay because I needed to be settled with him. And I saw it just open up over this territory. Before I forget, I was going to mention on Sunday, but it's come up now. When I was sitting here on Sunday, let me just take a sip of water. Tonight I was early, so I was outside, and because I didn't know what to do, I kind of drove around the block a few times. It's not very exciting because you can't see anything. It's pitch dark out here. There's trees everywhere, but I'm sure Krugersdorp was a lot more beautiful a few years ago. But I don't know which side is which now. I think this is where the parking is, or not the parking is there, but on the side. So this is from Brandreth Road, then that's Muncie going up there. On Sunday when I sat there, I saw warriors of this church walking up that road. And the Lord spoke to me about the same as Jericho. The walls will come down. The walls will come down. Now, I'm not saying to you prophetically that the Lord says go and walk around this area seven times. No. Nothing to do with the seven times. He showed me that there are going to be people, warriors in this church, if you're probably not doing it already, that you're going to. But the point being this, prophetically, you are going to break walls in this area. So I'm not saying you have to physically go up this road. If you choose to do that, it's cool. But my understanding from what I saw is that warriors of this ministry are going into this area to break walls down. And they are walls that have been raised over the past few years. There's strongholds that have moved into this area in recent years. Not long ago, says the Lord. Not long ago, not long ago. In fact, as little as 3 to 5 years ago, says the Lord, things in this area changed. You will know by my Spirit, says the Lord, that you have been aware of the darkness, this territory that you've been fighting. He's showing me that you're going, you're kicking up sand. As you've been warring, you're kicking up the sand in desperation because you don't know why it's not moving. The Lord says, wait on me. The next thing I want to share with you, Pastor Keith and Cheryl, is I was sitting over there and I was very aware of this area here, but I don't want to isolate that. The Lord was showing me the presence of the previous prayers of this church are still here in this atmosphere. That was new to me because I think once he's answered prayers, but he keeps all the prayers, the Bible says. So he showed me on Sunday that in 20, 30, I don't know how old this church is, but a long time ago, the prayers of the righteous are still sitting in this building. No condemnation. That's not anything wrong with it. What he's saying is there's still fruitfulness. There's still goodness. There's still fruit on the vine, says the Lord, in this place that still has to come forth, which your forefathers and people, some apparently two or three of you in this church were already in this place back then. So this same Holy Spirit, I just need to move on. We're almost there for tonight. This same Holy Spirit will comfort you. I need you to get a revelation of this. Holy Spirit will comfort you. He will guide you. He will counsel you. He dwells with you. He will bring the truth and he will convict. He will change. Conviction is not a bad thing. I've got many stories I can tell you about what happened on the streets of Krugersdorp West here with me in those 2 years. And most of them, I didn't realize what was happening on that day in that hour. But when I moved out of that, and because Kevin then started a church under Little Falls in the Mamzantoti, and he's there now, but he's under Rhema. I had started a business. I had left the corporate world, and that business was to get into ministry. Lord, you're showing me a lot of things. But when I had finished, I was no longer on the streets of Krugersdorp West or in this area. He sent me to Paradekraal. He sent me, we did at the gates of Krugersdorp. We stood with crosses and we prayed in those days. Where those prostitutes are, we stood. That was one of the gates just up the road there. There out that stop street going out towards the game reserve. That was another gate. Then the one, it's getting warm. But it was at that time that I'd really left the streets of Krugersdorp that he showed me what he had done in my life. I'll just look at the time. Maybe there's one I'll share just now. But the Holy Spirit reveals the far. The Holy Spirit reveals the future. So if you're in business, if you need to make a decision, if you're looking for a husband or wife, the Holy Spirit will reveal the future to you. He might not show you exactly what your wife looks like or something, but you will have that peace because the peace of God will rule in your heart. That understanding which surpasses everything will be upon you. And in your decision-making process, listen to what he's got to say. There's consequence to things we do. And many times we do things, then we want the blessing of the Lord. Then there's a consequence afterwards, and we say, now, why did this happen? He says, but did you consult me? No, Lord, but I asked your blessing. But did you consult me? You first made the choice. You go and buy that Ferrari. Isn't that a blick with a yellow sticker on it? You like that? It is. I said to them in our seminar a while ago, I'll challenge you on this. Show me a Ferrari when it's gone through the metal crusher. Does it still look like a Ferrari? It's just a piece of metal. And an old Volkswagen looks the same. So what's the issue? The point is this. Now you want that Ferrari. You go buy it and you say to him, can I have this? And he says, no, you were actually supposed to buy a Mercedes. My pastor always tells us, he says, why pray for a Ferrari if you need to go to Zimbabwe to do mission work? How stupid can you get? So I had to change my prayer. Now I'm driving my daughter's little Polo. I had to give them my Mercedes, okay. Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. We are empowered for life, for our call, for our purpose, for eternity by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that in this weekend, you will start walk in that victory and authority of Christ, that you will take hold of what He's giving you this weekend. It's not about this pretty handsome face standing in front of you. It's not about this building. It's not about anything. It's about Jesus. You tap into Him. We are just the vessel. We're going to touch on that on the weekend as well, the vessel of the anointing. We are called to let heaven be on earth. We are called to change the atmosphere. I think Pastor Keith or part of the worship songs, or was it in that back room there, was saying change the atmosphere. You and I are called to change the atmosphere. When you walk into a place, the atmosphere should change because the enemy should recognize the light that is on you. You are the light of this world. Jesus was the light of this world. He is in you by the Holy Spirit. He is with you by the Holy Spirit. Wherever you walk, but if you are walking in shame or guilt or bitterness or unforgiveness, that light ain't going to shine very bright. Not because the Holy Spirit is ever dark, because you're not giving Him the space to shine. Let it go, guys. I promise you, I will come back here sometime and share some testimonies with you. It is not worth it. Life in the fast lane is not worth it. Ek was daar gewees. I am now fitter and healthier and stronger than whatever I was 12 years ago. Only by the Spirit of God. Only He can take the glory. Further to these scriptures, and I want you to get a revelation of this. Jesus says, He taught these truths that we must know and apply in our daily lives by the Spirit of the Lord. Remember, the Holy Spirit is also Spirit of the Lord. There's different names for Him. Our lifestyles must become the expression of Christ's likeness, that light. John 14 and John 15, He says, talks about love. If you love Me, go look how many times Jesus talks about love. You will obey Me, He says, if you love Me, or you will do My commands. He talks about light. I want to share love, light, life, unity, glory, and the kingdom with you quickly. You are the light of the world. Matthew 5 from verse 14 and Ephesians 5 from verse 8. You and I need to be the light. When I got here, obviously sitting outside, I didn't realize from this side the prison was that close, but Jan will know that some years ago in a ministry that I was serving, we went in to the prison several times down to minister to the waiting trial prisoners and also to those that were sentenced. I promise you, when they closed that door behind me walking through there, I thought, oh, yes, here. But no, it's not a nice place. Not a nice place. I met a guy in there that we prayed for that one night he sold drugs on the streets of Krugersdorp because he needed money. His parents had said to him, go out, sort yourself out. His name was Marius. He was 23 years old. Never did anything wrong, but one night he decided to sell drugs because he needed to pay for whatever. And that very first time he did it, he got bust. In that time we were there, he was waiting 3 months already. Nothing gets given to you. In that 3 months, nothing. You go in there with the clothes on your back and with a breath in your mouth. Nothing else. I'm not saying that you're going to jail. I'm saying to you, there's a hellfire. And you will go in there totally separated from God, that you can never, ever go back and say, I'm sorry. You can never have forgiveness. He couldn't go back. That Morris, in those 3 months awaiting trial in there, there's nothing he could do. No matter how much he was repenting about that, no matter how much, not to God, he was wanting to be sorry, he wanted us to phone his girlfriend, all this kind of stuff. You can't take stuff there and go and do it for them. It's over. There's only one time. Fortunately, God is the God of the second chance. Life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 17, a huge revelation which we'll touch with the glory on Sunday is unity. He prays for himself. He prays for his disciples and he prays for you and I. If you didn't know that about John 17, go and read it. It is a hugely revealing scripture. And there he speaks about his glory and you and I, part of the glory that originally was. I sometimes say to people, without simplifying it, the Bible is a ticket to go home. Because at the end of time, everything is just rebuilt to where it originally was. A better place. We have more than what Adam had in the garden. We have a better covenant. There's different things. He wasn't under that. The point being this, is that God, the kingdom and everything is back into its purity and its oneness that it always was. Jesus spoke a lot about the kingdom. He announced the kingdom and taught of its nature and of its power. The same Spirit of the Lord, other references to this in Genesis 1 verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And what does it say? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Why is God called the Ancient of Days? Because he's got a gray beard? He's been around. He's been around. I tell you people, when you get into the things about deliverance and stuff like that, and what you and I need to know is many of the fallen angels that are running around causing trouble in modern society have been around for hundreds of years. Don't think that the devil you're dealing with happened in the 21st century. When the angels fell, they fell. They've been around ever since. They didn't arrive 10 years ago and suddenly now check out what you and I are doing. So what I'm trying to say to you is you need Holy Spirit to open your spiritual understanding to deal with the issues of darkness, to deal with deception, because they've been around a long time. They know better than Jesus or anything. He has no authority, the devil. Only Jesus has got authority. But you need to understand how strategically to use that authority. You cannot just run up to something saying, and in the name of Jesus, I have the authority. If you're stupid and immature in the Bible, in the ways and the anointing, jy gaan jou geskop word. In Daniel 5 verse 14, I have heard of you, we're talking of Daniel now, it says here that the Spirit of God is in you and that light and understanding and excellence and wisdom are found in you. The same Holy Spirit we're talking about this weekend was there with Daniel, and the king recognized that in Daniel. When you go stand in front of your boss, in front of your wife, in front of your husband, in front of your children, wherever you go, do they see that spirit of excellence and wisdom, that countenance, that character of Christ in you? That is what the Holy Spirit is here for. Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Notice that. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. That is the Ruach breath, the power, the life of creation itself. Isaiah 61, which is also prophetically Luke 4. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, set the captives free, open the prison gates, bring sight to the blind, not only the physically but the spiritually blind. And we are done for tonight. Romans 8 from 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Notice that. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. We quote that scripture very often. We say to people, oh, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. No, you need to read the whole thing. And we forget that it says there that your physical body is changed because of the presence of God in you. I'm going to close now. The rest is for Sunday. It's like a whole book. It's weird. I didn't think I'd be able to page through it easily. When I was in the prayer room, the Lord said there's a healing anointing here. So I'm on time, Pastor Keith, I believe, more or less. I think I was maybe a little bit longer. Let me share that, the one with you, so you can maybe just be encouraged. Are we all good? I hope you're aware of the presence of God, because my back's taking a bit of strain. Not as in pain, the heaviness on me. And I just thank Him for it, because it's all about Jesus. You can maybe just, if you want to, in the back. Hey, he's got a lion. I've got to pray for him. But then the lions aren't going to do so well after this, because they're all being chosen for the Springboks. Well done to Warren Whiteley. I mean, that man's a praying man. Did you know that? Did you see him on TV when they elected him Springbok captain? He said, like I said about the 12, he said, I never dreamed that I would be the Springbok captain. It never came to mind. That is humility. He demonstrated his humility. And watch what happens in the lives of some of the rugby players when the leader, the father of the tribe, is a spirit-filled man. Many of the Springboks are. Many of the rugby players are. I know you've got a breakfast tomorrow morning, so we don't want to go long, because... You must good sleep, let you come by and come eat. I hope they're serving like big steaks and things like that. Okay. No, I submit willingly to pastors. Although I'm in the prophetic, let me tell you something. One thing I've learned, and fortunately the people who have taught me in Little Falls when I was there and came out of there, and the people that have subsequently mentored me, is I will submit to a pastor of the church. He's your father. He's the leader, not me. Doesn't matter what gifting, what calling, what anointing is on my life. It's not about me. And God honors when you honor others. So your pastor's saying to me, I don't need to be rushed. I can move freely, and I honor him for that. Let me tell you about one thing, and I hope I just remember all the things correctly, but believe it or not, I had white hair. If you don't believe it, I'll come to my house, or sometime I'll come show you. And a few years ago, there was a man from on Sunday, and I said, but I know you. And he said, yeah, you were the guy with the sports car with the long blonde hair and Little Falls. And I said, yeah, and he was sitting there on Sunday. I didn't see him yet tonight, him and his wife. But so I was a real hooligan at one stage, and my hair got really long, and it was white and blonde. But when I was a child, grew up in Potchefstroom, in boarding school all my life, my hair was blonde, very blonde, very light. And you don't have the greatest haircuts when you're in a place like Potchefstroom in boarding school. Really, they mess up. Sometimes you just take a scissors and cut your own hair, and it's like a skiff, and you got like a double crown, and you cut it too short. But we were on the streets of Krugersdorp West, and one of the things that was revealed to me afterwards, the Lord showed me, is this. What happened was, most Saturdays we'd go, well, every Saturday in those 2 years, we'd go out and we'd pray on the streets and try and evangelize, and it was one of the things that Pastor Kevin taught me, and huge things happened on the streets. Even the Jehovah's ran away from me back then. And I was just trying to be nice. Around the civic building or whatever, that white building, I was praying there, and they gave out books, and I went to pray there and defeated the Libbeginjaag. I always go to gates and knock, and know what's happened in modern society? We've put up all these wires and gates, and sometimes you get the precast wall and then you still get a security fence. I don't know if they think somebody's going to step back, because I mean, they're 10, 12 foot high, some of these things. But also, a lot of you will know that you come from Krugersdorp, the old houses, they those with all the veranda with the pillows, and you come in the front little gate, and then you walk down this little path, there's only about three steps, and then you're at the front door, but he stoop. He's like, hello? And sometimes I just stand at the gate. And what I didn't notice at first when it was happening, on several occasions, a young boy of about 10 years old with blonde hair, white hair, would come to the door. And I'd say, is your mother home, or this or that? And but never would they let me in. It was also one of the occasions where a lady came out and said, yes, a cult, and she wanted to chase me down the streets. One Saturday morning, we came around a corner, and I don't know if he's still there. There was a slaghuis, a butchery, in the main road. You go through Krugersdorp West, they're like a block away from Westpac, but I was behind it. And on that corner house there, the old windows, you slide up, there was a little sign. It was like a tuck shop. So I went up to it, and the gate was open, and me and Obi, he was a Nigerian or Ethiopian guy that was with me back those days. And I went to this window, and I like peered in, and all these goodies, somebody was selling stuff. It was like a tuck shop, spaza shop. A little boy, again, on Saturday morning, a little boy with blonde hair, about 10 years old, came and said, hello, Wim. What's up, Wim? And I said, your dad, you know, I'm ministering, and I said, yeah, well, but my pass after I slap or whatever, but you want to buy something? And I said, you know, I don't walk around ministering on the streets with money on me. I chatted, and I thought it was very funny, the situation I was finding myself in. So I left, and as we stepped off that veranda into the street behind that butcher, I don't know if it was Sarl or the butcher's name, I don't know if some of you know it, you know, I stepped on the pavement corner now to go back to the church, which was the Burgerswerp Community Center. And the road said Potchefstroomstraat. I was like, what a weird name for a street. That's where I grew up. I got home and the presence of God came all over me. And he showed me that every Saturday I went out there, that little boy, it happened several times, not the same boy in different places. He said, that was you. I was showing you as a young man, because every time I went to those houses, the little boy that would come out was stuck behind a gate or a door or something. He couldn't get to me. And he said, Mark, I've broken the bondage around you. And he showed me by the street name that I grew up in, Potchefstroom, and he said, in that place, those things that held you back have been broken. When I was that age, I tried to run away from school. I tried to do many things. I'm telling you, this is not to bring attention to myself. It is to bring attention to what Jesus will do in your life. And while you're going through it, you might not realize what is happening. But the result is your glorious future. The result is that treasure. I never perceived myself like that, but I was living in shame. I was now already, 40 years old? It was guilt from then. I never had a home. I was in boarding school from 5 years old to 17 and a half, and then they put me in 2 years in the army. So from 5 years old to 20. Never had a bicycle, never had my own bed, never had my own room. I always lived out of a suitcase. Because my parents were divorced when I was 3-4 months old, which I only found out about 2 years ago. My dad's not around any longer, but it's I don't have issue with him. That has been dealt with. The point I'm in here is the Lord showed me that because I had nothing, he was always there, although I didn't know it. And that what he was doing now was revealing to me the condition of my life that was causing me not to live a full life. And it was that I got into the alcohol and drug stuff after my divorce. But all that happened because of that trauma, you have to turn to something. And I went into all of that stuff. I was a very conservative person before that. And I want to tell you tonight, if there's any issue on your physical body or mind, I'll pray for you. Because anything, trauma is not only what you get in a car accident and land up in the hospital. I'm going to give you something that you might not understand, but anything that comes against your peace of what God has created you to be is trauma. Anything that is not of God, that has dealt an issue or a blow to you in life, physically, spiritually, financially, or otherwise, is trauma. Because your being was never made to deal with trauma. Do you understand now why so many things are in our lives? The Lord, one night, last year I was still in Spirit Life Ministries, and I was sitting down and there was some deliverance happening, and the Lord said to me, the memory of sin, and I was like, oh dear, what have I done? I'm not perfect. By no means, you know, we all make mistakes and that, so please don't say it like that. And I went home and I said to him, but what are you talking about? He said, I have made your body so magnificently well that anything that happened in your life, your body remembers. So what happens, your flesh automatically will go to sin because of the memory in your subconscious. That is why you need to be washed in the Holy Spirit. That is why you need to be washed in the Word. That is why you need to go through this. Not everything is a devil. It's not easy to change people's lives. But we cannot change people's lives. Jesus, by the Spirit of the living God, changes you. But you have to be willing, no matter what age you are. God has not put an age. Show me where in the Bible does it say there's an age requirement for healing, age requirement for deliverance, age requirement for being successful. I'm 50 years old. If by the grace of God, I believe I'll be here when I'm 100. And maybe this building will still be standing and I'm still going to be ministering and maybe I'll even look younger. Thank you, Dad.